Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question concerning any comment that we make on the program, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, certainly we'd like to hear from you. If you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly we would give consideration to it. But again, contact us, and you can do so by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. There were five Latin phrases that were known as the five solas that became really the shout of the Protestant Reformation. These five ideas developed through the years, and they summarize the basic belief and emphasis that was opposed to Roman Catholic beliefs, and those beliefs that, of course, had developed right on down into the 16th century. The five phrases were sola scriptura, sola de gloria, solus Christus, sola gratia, and sola fide. These phrases mean that the reformers, one, believed the scriptures alone are the rule of life and faith for a believer. Two, everything is to be done only for the glory of God. Three, salvation is by Christ alone. Four, salvation is by the grace of God alone. And five, salvation is by faith alone. And there is much to admire about these five statements of faith, but in the almost 500 years since these first became known in Western religion, these ideas have gained a whole lot of unscriptural additions to them. The reformers, Martin Luther in particular, were fighting against a corrupt and intertwined political and religious system called Catholicism. The religious system that they faced was bent on self-preservation and self-gratification. Luther, who has become what we might refer to as the champion of faith alone in history, he wrestled for years with what was believed by Roman Catholics and what the Bible taught. And what sparked what he was seeing was a group that was selling indulgences. Now, the meaning or even the logic of indulgences, that's kind of hard for us as Christians to understand. But to the Catholic mind, they make a great deal of sense. The whole concept of an indulgence is based on the medieval Catholic false doctrine. And it is that sinners must not only repent of their sins, they must also confess these sins to a priest and pay some sort of retribution, even after death in purgatory. Indulgences were sold to decrease the time that a person spent in torment in purgatory. So what began to materialize was not a fight of belief versus obedience, but rather it became a fight that was about faith versus meritorious works. And so this modern concept that we have today of faith only, and it's believed by so many today. That concept would have been unknown to Luther. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, Paul said, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." After quoting those two verses, Luther makes this comment in the Sermons of Martin Luther, volume 6, on pages 142 through 165, and I quote, "How beautifully the apostle in these strong words extols the grace of God bestowed in baptism. Baptism perfectly and instantaneously cleanses and saves." End of quote. Luther also made a statement in the book Large Catechism of 1530. Is a statement, and again I want to quote, "that it is most solemnly and strictly commanded that we must be baptized or we cannot be saved, lest anyone regard it as a trifling matter." End of quote. So you see, Luther considered baptism a work of God. Luther believed that God was doing the work at baptism. At baptism, Luther's idea was that at the point of obedience, the main work was God's work in forgiving the sinner. And so Luther's fight against the works salvation of the Catholics was a fight against salvation through meritorious works such as penance, praying, the rosary, fasting, and other things that the Roman Catholics were imposing that were not found in the Scriptures. Those were the works that Luther was condemning. So, just as Luther is misunderstood, so also is the Bible truth of good works being essential to the child of God being faithful understood, misunderstood. Modern denominations deny any Bible doctrine that includes a believer doing anything in order to be saved. While modern denominations argue for a faith alone without works approach to salvation, the Bible is clear. When James says, James 2 and verse 20, that faith without works is dead. Notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love." And also, we see Jesus answering a question about the works of God. Notice, let's go over to John chapter 6. Let's begin our reading with verse 28. They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So you see, for those that say that we're saved by faith without works is denying what this very verse says and what Jesus says, that faith itself is a work. But what kind of a work is it? It is a work that man has invented for us to do in order to have forgiveness of sin? No. It's what God commands for us in order to have the remission of sins. And concerning that remark that Luther made about baptism being a work of God, and it's a work of God because God removes the sin from the sinner, that's exactly what we read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, where it says, "Buried with him," that is Christ, "in baptism, wherein also we are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. So we see then that when we are baptized, we are buried with him, but we're also raised with him through the faith of the operation of God. And friends, that's exactly what baptism is. It is an operation. It is an operation where, as verse 13 says, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. God performs an operation when we are baptized. There is the operation of circumcision. We know circumcision is the cutting away. And of course, in physical circumcision, it's the cutting away of the flesh. But in spiritual circumcision that we're speaking of and that Paul is talking about here, it is God's operation when we are baptized to circumcise us in this operation wherein sin is removed. It's a cutting away of sin. That's why when Ananias spoke to Saul, he said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. His sins was going to be taken away. It's why Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Because repentance and baptism, when they are done, is not a work that man has devised. Repentance and baptism is a work that God has commanded, that is an essential part of our having sins forgiven. See, this modern denomination of idea of faith alone, it's crept into denominational preaching and teaching due to the effects of Satan. Satan's always twisting the scripture. He seeks for man to disobey God. Remember back there in Genesis 3 and verse 4 when he told Adam and told Eve that you shall not surely die? So the denominations, whether they realize it or not, accepts teachings that is contrary to clear Bible truth. The faith alone approach reduces Bible faith to the point that it means nothing and is ineffectual. Faith without works is dead, and that's exactly what it is. So is the heart of a true disciple of Christ happy with the minimum of works of faith? No. The heart of a true believer looks to do everything that he's commanded to do for the one that he loves. A true believer looks to the scriptures alone for the truth. A true believer, he looks to do everything he does to uphold the glory of God. A true believer looks to Jesus as the only one that can save him. The true believer understands that his works merits him nothing. It is by grace that we are saved. A true believer understands that faith is his part of a covenant relationship with God. Is a person saved by faith alone, as it is used in the religious world? No. Is a person saved by faith? Yes. And similarly, a believer is also saved by grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8. We're saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. We're saved by baptism, 1 Peter 3, 21. We're saved by Jesus' blood, Romans 5, verse 9. Friends, we appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and until then, that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.